Hello and welcome to series 7 of the International Soccer Podcast. I am Kevin.
And I'm Connor. And in this six-part series, we will be doing a group-by-group preview of African Cup 2021, which will be played in early 2022. And within that, a team-by-team overview of each of the 24 teams competing.
Right, so we're kind of separating each team into three parts. The podcast into three parts. So we'll begin with an overview of the group, which includes some geographical information about the size and population of each country. And then we're going to do a team by team overview. So we'll look at their World Cup history and African Cup history, this time with a particular focus on their performance in the African Cup finals. And finally, in part three, we're going to have a discussion of their prospects and our predictions. So we'll be looking at the head-to-head records and the ranking, and then a discussion of how they're probably going to do in the African Cup.
Right. And just to give a brief overview of the tournament, as I said, this is a 2021 African Cup, even though it's being played in 2022. The host nation, Cameroon, we'll talk about here. There are 24 teams, with the tournament having been expanded from 16 teams in 2019. The top two in each group will advance to the knockout phase, along with the four top third place finishers. And just a brief note on qualifying. The qualifying structure was a preliminary round to reduce the 52 participants to 48. So just four teams were eliminated. And then the 48 teams were then divided into 12 groups of four, with the top two from each group qualifying for the finals.
Right, and sorry, just a quick correction there. It was 16 in 2017 and went to 24 teams in 2019.
Right. So this is the second version with 24 teams. Thanks for that.
That's right. Okay, so for this one, this is Group A, and there is the host Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Cape Verde, and Ethiopia that we'll be looking at today. And let's begin with a little geographical information.
Sure. So starting with Cameroon. Cameroon's just under 500,000 square kilometers, sitting in kind of Central Africa on the Atlantic coast. In terms of size, it's slightly larger than Sweden, so a fairly big country. And its population is 28 million, which is the 14th largest in Africa and 51st largest in the world.
Yeah, I should say actually that if you look at a map, the African countries are much bigger than they look on the map because it's at the equator, so it can be deceptively small looking on the map, but much larger in fact.
Absolutely. All right. The next country is Burkina Faso. This is a small landlocked country that was known as Upper Volta prior to 1984. Its size is about a quarter million square kilometers. So it's similar in size to New Zealand. And out of 54 countries in Africa, it's the 29th largest in terms of size. So kind of middling in size. And population, there are 21 million inhabitants. So that's the 19th largest in Africa and 58th in the world.
All right, and at the end of this introduction, we're going to do a little comparison just of the four countries together. On to Cape Verde.
This is the smallest country in the group by a lot. It's just 4,000 square kilometers. Cape Verde is an island nation off the west coast of Africa. So it's the fifth smallest country in Africa in terms of size. And its population is slightly larger than 500,000 people, which is the second smallest population in Africa. And kind of 20, and it's 29th smallest in the world. So really a tiny country in terms of population to have made it to the finals.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were as small as you say. They're really punching above their weight.
And finally, we have Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a very large country situated in the Horn of Africa. It's the second most populous nation in Africa, with 117 million people, and that's good for 12th in the world. And in terms of size, it's just over 1 million square kilometers. It's the 10th largest country in Africa, and is actually twice the size of France and three times the size of Germany. So, a really large country.
Right, and I guess they're punching below their weight.
You could say that.
Let's do a little comparison then to kind of summarize that part.
So yeah, in terms of population in particular, Ethiopia has over 100 million people and is the largest country in the group. Cameroon has 28 million people and Burkina Faso 21. And then you have tiny Cape Verde Islands with just 500,000 people.
Right. Okay. Super. That was great information. And we're going to move on then to talk about Cameroon. And we're kind of organize this into kind of their long history and then their short history, which covers basically the last 5 or 6 years. And then finally, their recent history, which includes qualifying for this cup. So part one, though, is their participation in tournaments and their achievements. So their first international game was in 1956. They're a first-tier African team, but they haven't always been that way. Their pattern is a bit different than other strong African teams in that they have more defined patches of strong and weak periods. So they first entered World Cup qualification in 1970, and they've participated every time since. They've also been very consistent in African Cup participation, first entering in 1968 and never failing to enter since. And finally, they are part of a local group, which we'll just touch on in this podcast, called CAFU, or the Central African Football Federations Union. In terms of achievement, they've reached the World Cup 7 times. Their best performance was in 1990 when they reached the quarterfinals. Regionally, they're one of the strongest teams in Africa, having won the African Cup 5 times, including twice in a row in 2000 and 2002. And these wins at the regional level earned them entry into 3 Confederations Cups. Do you want to quickly explain what the Confederations Cup is, Connor?
So that's a tournament held every 4 years, usually, or I guess almost always, by the upcoming World Cup host. It's a year before the World Cup, and it involves the winners of all of the continental championships, so the Euros, the African Cup of Nations, the Gold Cup. So it's an 8-team group, with the host and usually the past World Cup winners participating as well. So Cameroon, as you mentioned, 3 times is pretty good, and their best showing there was a second place finish in 2003.
That's right. And it actually, I thought it was a fairly prestigious cup, but they've cancelled it now. So it's just a part of history. Okay, let's move on then to a closer look at their World Cup history. So they surprised by reaching the World Cup in 1982 because they hadn't come close before that. And indeed, they were a fairly weak team. In their 3 campaigns prior to 1982, they had been knocked out in round 1 of 3 or 4 rounds. They'd been knocked out in round 1 twice and knocked out in round 2, 2 out of 4 the other time. So not really close. But in 1982, they beat Zaire, which is now called Congo DR, in round 3 and Morocco in round 4 to reach the cup. They performed very respectably once there, earning ties with Peru and Poland and even the eventual winners, Italy. But the 3 ties was only good enough for third place in the group, and their journey ended at that point. They failed to qualify in 1986. They were knocked out by Zambia in round 2 of 4. But from 1990 onwards, they've qualified for every cup except 2006 and recently in 2018. Both of those were tough qualifying battles where they fell to Ivory Coast and Nigeria, respectively. However, in their five successful qualifications since 1990, they've never again passed the group stage.
All right, I'll take a bit of a closer look at the most recent World Cups. So for the 2018 World Cup in Russia, they were one of the top 27 ranked teams in Africa to receive a bye in the first round. And then they had a head-to-head pairing in round two, where they beat Niger. Round three saw them in a very tough group where they bested a poor Algeria, but tied Zambia twice and were bested by Nigeria, who they lost to 4-0 on the road. So overall, it was a bit of a weak performance, finishing third in the group behind Zambia, and perhaps especially weak considering their victory in the 2017 African Cup just a year earlier. But as we said, it was certainly a challenging group.
Definitely, yeah. And with Zambia kind of coming back to a bit of form there. Okay, how about 22, World Cup 2022 qualifying?
So like most teams, they received a bye in round one, which is just a preliminary round. In the group stage, they suffered a loss in Ivory Coast, but otherwise won all their games and were in fact more consistent than Ivory Coast against weaker teams Mozambique and Malawi. So they finished first in the group. That was only the second of three rounds. So they are awaiting to see who they'll play in a head-to-head playoff where the winner will go through to the World Cup.
Yeah, I think that draw is coming up soon, but it hasn't been done yet. And okay, let's move on to the African Cup, the long history of the African Cup. So, and we're going to actually have a kind of a deep dive on the African Cup finals because that's what we're preparing for here. So just as an overview, they joined the African Cup in the late 60s and quickly improved to a third place finish in 1972. This was followed by a long dry period in the 70s where they didn't reach the cup, but they rose up again in the mid to late 1980s, winning two African Cups and finishing second in the other. They experienced a lull again in the 1990s, but won two in a row in 2000 and 2002. They did fairly well after that, passing the group stage every time and taking second place in 2008. 2012 to 2015 covered three cups, actually, but it was a real drought for them, failing to qualify twice and falling at the group stage the other time. Therefore, their African Cup win in 2017 came as a surprise, but it was followed by a round of 16 exit in the newly expanded 2019 version, and Connor will cover that in a bit more detail. Now we'll move on to the African Cup finals in detail. So we said in 1970, it was their first trip to the finals and they did well, winning two of their three games. However, Ivory Coast and Sudan also did, and a 2-1 loss to Sudan in the final game left them third place in the group on goal difference. It took until 1982 to reach their next cup. Here again, they were unfortunate to finish third, having gone undefeated in the group stage. Ties with Tunisia and Ghana and tournament host Libya should have seen them through, especially because at this time a win was only worth 2 points. So a tie was kind of a bit better than it is now. However, they finished 1 point behind the two advancing teams who both earned 4 points on their two wins each. In 1984, they finished second in the group despite an opening loss with Egypt. They beat Algeria on penalties in the semi-finals. The tournament was just eight teams at this time, and Nigeria in the final. They beat Nigeria in the final for their first title. This, together with their first World Cup qualification 2 years earlier, really established them in Africa. But they finished second in 1986 and won their second title in 1988. Although 1990 saw their best World Cup result, it began a dry period in their African Cup journey. In the four cups between 1990 and 1996, their best result was fourth place in 1992. They didn't even qualify in 1994, even though the cup had expanded to 12 teams. But they recovered, reaching the quarterfinals in 1998 and winning two cups in a row, as we've said, in 2000 and 2002. It was a bit lucky in 2000 as they won one, tied one, and lost one in their group stage, the loss being to Togo. However, all teams did the same and ended on 4 points. Cameroon was lucky to finish at the top with the best goal difference. They reached the final where they beat Nigeria on penalties. And in 2002, they won in the final on penalties also over Senegal this time, but it seemed a bit more deserved because they had won all of their games in the tournament. They reached only the quarterfinals in their next two tournaments, going out in 2006 to the Ivory Coast in spectacular fashion. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this because it's a good story. The two teams, if you recall the 2006 World Cup qualification, they've just come off a tremendous battle where Cameroon had tied in their last match at home to Egypt and gave up the World Cup spot to Ivory Coast. This match in the African Cup had ended 0-0, but each team scored an extra time to bring it to penalties. And the penalty shootout ended, believe it or not, Connor, 12-11.
Wow.
So, with 11 players on the field, the shootout came back around to the first shooters. And maybe some familiar historic names here. Ivory Coast Didier Drogba scored his shot, and Cameroon's Samuel Eto'o missed. So once again, they came out behind Ivory Coast. Okay, so they finished second in 2008, and they passed the group stage for the seventh time in a row in 2010, but then shockingly failed to qualify for the next two editions. In 2015, they were knocked out at the group stage, making it kind of three poor showings in a row. So let's see in more detail how they fared from 2017.
In 2017, they had a solid qualification from an pretty easy group. They tied an otherwise poorly performing South Africa home and away, but then won all games against Gambia and Mauritania to finish far and away in first place in qualifying. Cameroon came into the tournament with personnel troubles, with several veterans refusing to appear, so little was expected of the relatively inexperienced group. However, morale proved their biggest asset as they improved throughout the tournament, tying group winners Burkina Faso and host Gabon to finish second in the group stage. They beat the much favored Senegal on penalties, along with Ghana and Egypt, which was the toughest route possible for them, and that helped them win their fifth African Cup title. Moving on to 2019, qualification amounted to some friendly games because Cameroon was slated to be hosts. However, the game suddenly became more meaningful when hosting rights were taken away in March 2019 due to political tension in the country. In qualifying, they won all their home games but went winless on the road, losing to first place Morocco and tying both Malawi and Comoros to finish second in the qualifying group. However, that was good enough to take them to the tournament. There, they beat Guinea-Bissau in their opener, but it was goalless draws with Ghana and Benin for second place in the group stage. They then lost to Nigeria in the round of 16, a difficult match, for a disappointingly early exit as defending champions.
Yeah, I really found them a bit listless in this tournament. And they kind of, you may consider it unlucky that they met Nigeria in the round of 16, but they kind of did it to themselves by tying, especially Benin. All right, well, we're going to move on to just a quick glance at their local cup. So they're actually part of a local group called the Central African Football Federations Union, or CAFU. It has eight members, with Cameroon and Congo DR as the strongest teams. They don't currently have a cup, but four times they've attempted to establish one over the years, with varying success. The last one was the best attempt. It is called the CFAC Cup, and it ran from 2003 to 14 with 10 editions. Six different teams won that cup, and Cameroon was the most successful with three titles. But we won't go into more detail than that since the last one was in 2014. Let's
So,
move on then to their, sorry, Connor, their recent history.
yeah, we'll summarize their recent history. So, the African Cup win in 2017 hoped to put an end to a steady decline they were suffering before that. But performances have been ambivalent since then, and they can't really be said to have returned to form. Their failure to qualify from a tough group for the 2018 World Cup and a round of 16 exit in 2019, the African Cup of Nations. There at the hands of Nigeria are understandable, but at the same time, they're disappointing results for a team that regularly reaches the World Cup and is well capable of challenging for the African Cup title. It is more the inconsistencies that lead to the result. Two ties with Zambia in 2018 and a draw with Benin in the 2019 group stage, kind of proving their undoing. And now, we'll have a look at their qualifying for this tournament. So Cameroon finished first in their qualifying group, but it was kind of an unconvincing performance in what was a relatively easy group. They were actually bested by second place Cape Verde, who they meet in this group here, and suffered two draws at home, the other one to third place Rwanda. However, they did beat bottom finishers Mozambique twice. During the course of qualifying, though, they learned that they would be hosting the tournament, which perhaps drained their motivation. But they nevertheless ended the group as group winners. Oh, you're just on mute there, Kev.
Oh, I'm sorry, man, my mic off. Yes, a bit confusingly, they qualified. The qualifying games for the 2022 World Cup were in between the qualifiers for this cup and the finals, which are right around the corner here. So, whereas teams play friendlies in the build up to tournaments, and we usually go over those, they really haven't played any here. So we're just going to move on to looking at some of their players.
So a couple of their goal scorers and some names that may be familiar. Vincent Aboubakar scored three goals in qualifying for this tournament. He led the way. There was a couple players with one goal, including Andre Frank Zambo and as well Clinton Ndjai, both players who play in Europe.
Yeah, they're really strong on the forward lines. Most of their experience is up front. The other familiar names are Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting and Carl Toko Ekambi, who's with Lyon in France, and Christian Basagog, who's playing in China now. But those are all forwards. But we're going to actually focus on one player, kind of do a player focus. And our purpose for doing this is, especially in the future, we're going to do player podcasts. We did that for the North American region going into the final round of World Cup qualification. We're not going to be doing all 24 teams here. Rather, we're probably going to do a couple of teams and kind of figure out our format, so it's a bit experimental. But one of the things we'll be doing is the kind of biography or the kind of spotlight. We'll spotlight one of the players here and give a taste of the kind of information we'll be giving. So, do you want to take it away with Andre Onana, their goalkeeper?
Yeah, we chose to highlight a goalkeeper. Onana, he's been with the national team since 2016 and has 20 caps for them. And he's plays for Ajax in the Netherlands and has since 2016. And was with their youth system before that, as well as with Barcelona's youth system for 5 years before that. And is a product as well, even further back, of the Samuel Eto'o Academy youth club in Cameroon. On a personal note, he was actually has just returned from a 12-month absence at the club level, and I believe international as well, due to a doping ban in November 2020. But he did return to play both of their remaining two World Cup qualifiers in November 2021. But that did take him away from the national team for a year.
Yeah, we'll also be talking about kind of how likely they are to make the final team. And we would put Onana in the likely category despite that ban. He played in the Confederations Cup, but he was just a backup keeper. But he started in the 2019 African Cup. And as Connor said, as soon as he came back from the ban, he was in for the last two games of qualifying here. So we would consider him a very likely candidate. Okay, and that brings us to the end of to the end of the Cameroon, the look at Cameroon. And we're going to move on now to Burkina Faso. Oh, did we cover nicknames for the Cameroon team?
I'll mention it briefly because it's one of the best in all of football, I would say. The Indomitable Lions is the nickname for Cameroon. But Burkina Faso, they have a pretty good nickname too. They're known as the Stallions.
Yeah. And just a little bit of information for those who are going to watch a few games. Cameroon's main kit is a green shirt, red shorts, and yellow socks. And that's kind of reversed for their away kit, a yellow shirt, green shorts, and red socks. We'll just give a little brief description so you know what each team looks like. So on with the Stallions.
Yeah, they wear all green as their home kit and white as their backup.
That's right, with kind of a green stripe down the middle on their backup kit and a little flash of red near the neckline. Okay, well, let's take a look at their participation and achievements. So much less busy than Cameroon. They began qualifying as Upper Volta for the African Cup in 1986, and they began their World Cup journey in 1978. The name changed to Burkina Faso in 1984. Participation was a bit inconsistent in both cups until the mid-90s. They entered only two of five World Cups before 1998, and only six of 14 African Cups up till 1994. From 1996, though, they participated in both consistently. And they are part of a local group also called WAFU, or West African Football Union. In terms of achievement, they have never reached the World Cup. They qualified for only one of those six African Cup entries before 1996. That was in 1978. But they have qualified quite consistently since, missing only three of the 13 versions from 1996 to 2019. Their best result is a second place finish in 2013. Okay, now let's take a kind of a look at their World Cup history. Oh, sorry, let me find my place. Okay. They've never qualified for a World Cup, as we said, despite coming close in recent times. From 1998, they've reached the final round and have improved steadily until finishing second in the last three editions since 2010, and very close in 2014. In 2006, they were fourth of six in the group. But 2010 saw them win round one of two over Tunisia and then finish 4 points behind Ivory Coast. And then 2014, their closest brush, they won a group over Congo and exchanged home wins in a final playoff with Algeria, who advanced on away goals. But let's see how they've done in the last two campaigns.
So in 2018, they received a bye to round two. There they were paired with Benin. they lost the first leg away, but then won the second game at home by a goal more. So they advanced to the final round, a group stage on goal difference. They proved competitive in the final round, beating Cape Verde twice and tying group winner Senegal twice, and finished second, despite being bested by last place finishers South Africa. So those games against South Africa really hurt them.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a look at 2022. They're qualifying for the upcoming World Cup.
So they received a bye in the first round, as did all but the eight weakest teams. They tied favorites Algeria twice in the group stage, but proved a little less consistent against the weaker teams. And it was a draw at home to Niger that cost them, and they finished second, so did not advance to the final round or the head-to-head playoff round.
Right, so that's two tight qualifications with Algeria. They're coming close. I think actually in round one of three, there were 28 teams. I wonder if you're mixing it up with the African Cup qualification.
Yep, you're right. I am. Thanks for that correction.
Yeah, no problem. And so they remain kind of close to the World Cup there. And I wonder if they'll. Kind of like Togo, be one of the new African names who make it to the cup. Let's move on to the African Cup, and we're going to give an overview first and then a deep dive before Connor looks at recent cups. So, as an overview, they qualified for the first African Nations Cup in 1978. Again, they were called Upper Volta at that time, but then didn't qualify again until 1996. After that, though, they qualified five times in a row from 1996 to 2004. And then, after missing two cups in a row from 2006 to 2008, they qualified another five times in a row from 2010 to 2017. They were generally knocked out at the group stage, with the exception of 1998, a fourth place finish as hosts. In fact, apart from that campaign, they didn't win a game in any of their other seven campaigns until 2012. This made it a shock when they came second in 2013. They weren't able to repeat that in 2015, where they dropped at the group stage. And we'll see how they've done since. Of course, they'll be hoping to get back to that 2013 form where they at least passed the group stage. Okay, and now in a bit more detail, there's really nothing to speak of in their early years. Their only qualification was in 1978, and they lost all three games in that group stage. And then they didn't reach the cup again until 1996, where they lost all three games again, suffering a late goal by Sierra Leone in game one and a 5-1 drubbing at the hands of Zambia. They hosted the next tournament, though, and after an initial loss to Cameroon, they beat Algeria and Guinea to pass the group stage. Then they beat Tunisia 8-7 in a penalty shootout, but lost to Egypt in the semi-final. The third place match was actually quite interesting. It was a 4-4 draw with the Congo. A bit more detail on that. They were up 1-0 at the half, and they made it 3-0 by the 56th minute. Congo DR got one back, and the score was 3-1 at the 86th minute, so looked like they were going to win. One can only imagine the action that made it 4-4 by the end of regulation time. And then Congo DR went on to complete the comeback in the penalty shootout, which they won 4-1, Burkina Faso missing two of their first three penalties. Moving on, though, they continued to reach the cup, but earned only a single draw in each of the next three cups. As we said, they failed to reach in 2006 and 2008. And again, earned a single draw in 2010. So that was their default result for a while, reaching the cup, but only earning a draw once there. And in 2012, it was even worse. They lost all three group stage matches. So again, you can see why 2013 came as such a surprise. They went undefeated in the group stage, tying Nigeria and defending champions Zambia. And then they went on to beat Togo in extra time and Ghana on penalties before meeting Nigeria once again in the final, and this time falling to them for a second place finish. 2015 saw their standard one draw at the group stage, but they rose again. Wait, I'm going to stop right there and leave it to Connor to take it from here.
Sure, I will take you through their 2017 African Cup in a bit more detail. So Botswana twice almost proved their undoing, as Burkina Faso lost away and required a winning goal in the 9th minute of added time in the final game at home to qualify for the tournament. With that and a late winner in Comoros, whom they beat twice, they secured first place in the group, besting a closely chasing Uganda, who advanced as one of the two top second place finishers. In the African Cup, it was another great performance and result, as they finished first in the group stage, ahead of eventual winners Cameroon, who they meet again here, and host Gabon, tying both, and beating Tunisia and Ghana to set up a third place finish. They almost beat Egypt in the semifinal, but their goalkeeper taking a penalty when they were a goal up in the shootout proved a disastrous decision, as he missed and they fell at the semifinal stage.
Ouch. Well, that's kind of either the goalie's going to be a hero or a goat there, and when you miss, you're a goat.
Yep.
Okay, let's take a look at 2019.
Once again, they failed to build on a good performance at the African Cup. And 2019 was ghastly as they failed to qualify for the expanded tournament from a weak group and one that they, in fact, seemed sure to win. The performance was not that bad as they won all their games at home, but they had a very weak road record, earning only a draw against Botswana to give Botswana their only point. Then were less consistent than Angola and Mauritania, who finished ahead of them, leaving them third in the qualifying group.
Right, it kind of takes a while to wrap your head around Africa in terms of who. Well, we're fairly clear on who the top teams are, but when you get kind of below the top teams, it's hard to kind of gauge like how strong is Angola, how strong is Mauritania, and hopefully these podcasts will give a better sense of that. But honestly, losing out to Angola and Mauritania is very disappointing. Okay, and then just a quick word about their local group, which maybe we'll detail in future podcasts a little bit more. But Burkina Faso is a member of WAFU, or the West African Football Union. In truth, this and a lot of the other local organizations are more important for the women's and youth teams than they are for the men's teams. The simplified version of the story is that they've had six tournaments from 2010 to 2019, and Burkina Faso's only appearance among the top finishers was fourth place in 2010. I gotta say, it's probably one of the toughest local groups because it includes Senegal and Ghana and one other team that I can't recall right now. Anyway, we will give a bit more detail on these local groups in one of the less busy podcasts. All right, so do you want to take us through a quick summary of Burkina Faso, Connor?
Yeah, as is probably evident from their African Cup performances, Burkina Faso is a wildly inconsistent team. The best example is 1998, where they earned fourth in the African Cup but lost all games in their World Cup qualifying group. Another example is the general dissimilarity between African Cup and World Cup qualifying. But it is more true of the past than of the present, though their sudden drop-off in 2006 and 2008 is a flash of that inconsistency, which was echoed again in their failure to qualify in 2019. generally speaking, they have looked more consistent and is a much stronger team in recent times.
Right. Now, their steady upward trend in World Cup qualification is encouraging, though, and they seem to get even closer, having finished just one spot short in the last three qualifications. They've also done well in the after, that might be four qualifications now, because they were close in 2022 also. They've also done well in the African Cup, not only becoming consistent qualifiers, but finishing second in 2013 and third in 2017, although finishing in the group stage still seems to be their default level.
And finally, we'll just take a quick look in terms of their results with how they qualified for the 2021 African Cup. It started with a home draw with third place finishers Uganda, and they tied them again away. But they were consistent, if not fully convincing otherwise, going undefeated in the group, tying in Malawi, who advanced with them, and beating South Sudan twice to finish first in their qualifying group. With a record of 3 wins, 3 draws, and no losses.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Uganda was probably the second seeded team, and they're generally stronger than Malawi. So Burkina Faso should basically be beating Malawi and South Sudan fairly easily there. Okay, once again, we won't look at their friendlies, because most of the games in the lead up to this were World Cup qualifiers. Just to note, they have a friendly against Congo in Congo DR in a couple of days here. That's on January 2nd. And finally, we'll finish with a quick look at their players. And I'm sad, Connor. I am sad that Aristide Bance is probably too old for the team here.
That's too bad. Well, he had a good run with the team, Aristide Bance. Definitely one of the better names that we've come across.
Oh, yeah. And he was quite a unique player, quite an outstanding, kind of almost clumsy players. But he's like a Blanco from Mexico in the 1990s and 2000s, where the kind of a clumsy player. He really telegraphs what he's going to do, but then he does it and gets away with it anyway. He was a pretty amusing character. Those are the scorers in 2021. So he was actually around for the qualifying games here. I kind of hope he's in the African Cup, but I was a bit doubtful whether he would be. And we're going to feature Bertrand Traore, who also got one of their goals in qualifying. We'll just take a quick look at the scorers in the 2022 qualifying. Any names that you're familiar with there, Connor?
Not so much. They have kind of players spread out, you know, around the world, you know, in different leagues all over. So not too many that I recognize.
Yeah.
Abdul Tapsoba was their top scorer with 4, and Issafou Dayo had 3. There's a couple other players on the score sheet as well.
Yeah, those are new names to me. I think Tapsoba he plays for Standard Liège, and he only has 7 caps. So 5 goals in his 7 caps is pretty good. Anyway, let's move on to our feature player, Bertrand Traore.
Yeah, he's been around since 2011. Despite still being relatively young, he's 27. He has 60 caps for the national team and has scored 12 goals and had 1 of their goals in qualifying for this tournament. He currently plays with Aston Villa in England and has since 2020. Previously, he spent 3 years with Lyon in France, but he made his start with Chelsea, where he played as a youth player. And from there, he was loaned out a couple times to Vitesse and Ajax in the Netherlands.
Right. I see Lassina Traore is one of the more familiar names to me there, but it looks like he didn't make the squad for one reason or another. Until recently, he played with Ajax, and now he's moved over to Shakhtar Donetsk.
Yeah.
But,
a different Traore, Bertrand. You know, probably a slightly more recognizable name He'll be their main goal threat and probably one of their biggest players, or we expect it to be one of their biggest players for this tournament.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I confused thing there. I was jumping to a different Traore. There's lots of Traores around this part of Africa. Great. Well, thanks for that, Connor. And it's time for us to move on to Cape Verde.
All right. Their nickname is Criollos, which means the Creoles. And their kit, they wear kind of a distinctive teal or sky blue shirt or full kit. And their backups are white with blue shorts and blue sleeves as well. But yeah, the distinctive teal blue will kind of set them apart from a lot of other teams.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hard color to describe. All right, well, let's talk about their participation and achievements. So they're actually a relatively new team, first entering World Cup qualification in 2002 and participating consistently since. Their first entry into the African Cup was in 1994, but they missed the next two and only became consistent in participation from 2000 onwards. They've participated consistently since then and in the World Cup since 2002. And like Burkina Faso, they're part of the WAFU or the West African local group. In terms of achievement, they've never reached the World Cup. And their first successful African Cup qualification was in 2013, where they did very well, reaching the quarterfinals. Oh, is it me again for the World Cup overview?
Take it away.
All right. They've never qualified for the World Cup, as we said, having reached the final round in two of their five entries. They finished fifth of sixth in 2006, coming behind Burkina Faso, in fact, despite beating them twice. 2010 and 2014 saw them finish second of four behind Cameroon and Tunisia, respectively. In 2018, they beat South Africa in both legs to finish ahead of them, but lost. Oh, wait, you were going to do this. I'm stomping on your lines, Connor.
That's all right.
You've got to cut me off.
In 2018, they were one of the top 27 top-ranked teams in Africa to receive a first-round bye, just so they could kind of get the right numbers. In the round two pairing, they met Kenya, who they lost to in the away leg, but they beat them by a goal more at home to go through on goal difference. As you were saying, they beat South Africa both home and away in the group stage, but lost all their other games to Senegal and Burkina Faso, so finished third in the group and did not advance.
Right, that's a pretty tough group.
For 2022, they received a bye in the preliminary round once again. And this time they did excellently on the road, going undefeated there, including tying in Nigeria and Central African Republic and beating Liberia. Their only loss at home came to Nigeria, but they won the others for a commanding second place finish behind Nigeria in the group stage. For them, they were just 2 points behind Nigeria, though, so they haven't advanced to the final round, but certainly a qualification round to be very proud of.
Definitely. And, you know, in Africa, winning on the or even getting points on the road is pretty good achievement, and going undefeated on the road was really impressive. All right, well, let's move on to the African Cup history. Again, it's a bit shorter than other teams since they're a newer team. And once again, we'll do kind of an overview and then a deep dive into their finals, how they've done in the finals of the cups they've reached. So in early African Cups, they were knocked out at the preliminary stage until 2004 by Guinea-Bissau and in 1994 and by Liberia in 2002. After that, they finished near the bottom of the qualifying group. 2002 saw an improvement. Sorry, that's 2012. Saw an improvement where they fell just short of the cup. Oops, oh, that's probably the manager of Cape Verde phoning me. telling me to get my information straight here. Okay, sorry. 2012 saw an improvement where they just fell short of the cup, winning all home games and tying with Mali on top, but losing on their head-to-head goal difference. That foreshadowed them reaching the cup in 2013, even though it was a bit of a surprise that they went undefeated in the group stage to reach the quarterfinal, where they were knocked out by Ghana. They reached the next cup too, and we'll get into the details in the next section. And actually, we'll talk about 2017 onwards when Connor takes us through recent tournaments. So let's go straight to the deep dive here. And as mentioned, 2013 was the first time they reached the finals. It was 16 teams at this time. They beat out Cameroon in a final round playoff to qualify, so knocked Cameroon out of that cup. Again, they do meet Cameroon here, so that may be a bit of a grudge match. They started with a draw against South Africa. This is 2013, and they drew Morocco in the next game. The third set of games was very dramatic. So here's the situation. They were playing Angola, and South Africa was playing Morocco. And basically, you know, the winners of those games would pass. So who would pass went back and forth as goals were scored in each game. A South African goal at 86 left Morocco and Cape Verde with identical records. But on nodding, it was averted when Cape Verde scored a dramatic injury time winner to gain the advancing spot and knock Morocco out. After the undefeated group stage, their tournament ended on a bit of a whimper, losing to Ghana in the quarterfinals. But it was an impressive showing nonetheless. They reached the cup in 2015 also, and they went undefeated again in the group stage. However, ties with Tunisia, Congo, DR and Zambia, as impressive as that is against such big names, that was only good enough for third place. So Congo DR advanced over them by dint of having scored more goals. Okay, so let's take a look at how they did in the cup since, starting with 2017.
So they entered qualifying for the cup as favorites in their group, but Morocco proved superior, beating them twice and finishing far ahead of them in first. They exchanged away wins with Libya, the home loss on a late goal in the last game, denying them a possible route into the cup. They also beat Sao Tome and Principe twice. So they finished second in their qualifying group of four and failed to advance to the cup. 2019 saw an expanded cup, but they had a terrible result, finishing last in their qualifying group, a group they really seemed sure to advance from. Their only win came at home to Tanzania, though they actually lost away to them in the next game. They then tied the ostensibly weak Lesotho twice, but finished behind them, having lost both their games to group winners Uganda. So they finished bottom of that group with just one win and a bit of a setback from some of the progress they'd been making.
Yeah, absolutely. Finishing last place in that group. Okay, well, we'll take a quick look at their WAFU, or West African Football Union, their local region. We talked about it a little bit with Burkina Faso there, and we said I think they'd had six tournaments from 2010 to 2019. Cape Verde didn't participate, though, until 2017. There they were knocked out in qualifying. In 2019, they were also knocked out in qualifying. But the eight teams, this is a funny thing, the eight teams who failed to qualify took part in what's called a plate competition. Now, I suppose that is kind of the trophy is a plate. The ones who won the qualifying campaign went on to what is called the cup competition, so for the trophy. In the plate competition, they did well, beating Nigeria on penalties in the quarterfinal and then reaching the final where they lost on penalties to Guinea. And that's all we'll say about their local WAFU tournament. And we're going to turn our attention now to a summary. You want to take us through that, Connor?
Yeah, so for Cape Verde, their history is short, but it's been one of steady improvement to at least 2013. Their improving record has been partly due to very strong home form, where they regularly trouble the bigger teams. Still, their two cups in a row qualifying for them was something of an overachievement for as 2017 and 2019, where they failed to qualify, kind of showed. With the cup expanded to 24 teams, though, they'll come into a range of qualifying more regularly, and we'll probably expect to be making the African Cup on a more frequent basis.
Yeah, even for such a small country. Yeah, so while 2013 seems to have been a plateau, they've been more inconsistent than weak since that time. We saw 2019 was a very poor campaign, but wins home and away over South Africa in 2018, Cameroon in 2021, and a competitive campaign in the World Cup 2022 qualifying show that they do have some strength, and not just at home either.
Yeah, that 2022 showing, which is actually their most recent games coming into this tournament, actually is quite promising for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get into that when we do the discussion. But let's end here with their qualification for this cup.
So they went undefeated in qualifying and even bested Cameroon, but it was only good enough for second place in the qualifying group. Cameroon was the only team they beat at home, which is a bit disappointing, as they tied last place Mozambique there. And they tied third place Rwanda, both home and away.
Yeah, the number of ties, four ties in their six games. You know, now that wins are worth 3 points, ties are kind of damaging, and it's not enough to kind of tie your way through a campaign to end on top. But they did end in second and have qualified for this cup, so that's good. Let's skip past their recent matches because they were all World Cup qualifiers there, over to players and 2021 scorers. Any familiar names there for you, Connor?
Well, they scored just 6 goals in 6 games. And funnily enough, they actually only scored 4 as they benefited from other teams scoring own goals twice. But the man who got 2 of them was Ryan Mendes. We'll take a little bit more of a look at him in just a moment, but he would be the name that sticks out.
That's right. Yeah, not a lot of familiar names on this team. We'll just take a look at the 2022 scorers to see. Stopira is a defender. He's kind of a bigger name on the team. He plays in Hungary for probably the biggest team in Hungary. I'm not really familiar. Julio Tavares has 42 caps. He's a bit of a familiar name. He plays in Saudi Arabia, but I'm not really familiar with these players.
Yeah, like Burkina Faso, they have players playing in leagues all over the world with a slightly heavier concentration in Portugal, given their colonial connection.
Right. Anyway, let's go to our highlighted player, Ryan Mendes.
So he's a forward for Cape Verde. He's been with the team since 2010, so over a decade now, and has 34 caps in that time and 6 goals. He's moved around a little bit. He actually spent some time in England with Nottingham Forest in 2015-16. But more recently, he was in Turkey with Kayserispor in 2017-2018. Then he spent 2 seasons at Al Sharjah in the United Arab Emirates and is still in the United Arab Emirates now with Al Nassr.
Right, and he was a starter in that excellent 2013 campaign, but he didn't score any of their goals. But and he was also in 2015, he actually started as a sub and then assumed a starting position. I didn't actually realize he was on loan with Nottingham Forest, but he is a familiar name for me there. All right, well, let us I would say he's a definite. He played 7 of their 9 games in 2021, so I think he's a sure fire for the squad. Anything more on Cape Verde, Connor, or should we move on to Ethiopia?
Yeah, let's talk about Ethiopia. Their main nickname is the Walias, also known as the Desalegn Boys, but Walia is a bit more familiar. Like Cameroon and Burkina Faso, their primary kit color is green, and they're a colorful kit too, with yellow shorts and red socks.
I mean, that looks almost exactly like Cameroon. So, yes, they'll be using one of those teams will be using their B jerseys. All right, well, let's take a look at their participation and achievements. They're a pretty old team. Their first international was in 1957, sorry, 1947, and they're one of the founding members of CAF. The we have UEFA in Europe and CONCACAF in North America. It's CAF in Africa. There are four teams that founded CAF. That's Sudan, Ethiopia, Egypt, and South Africa. So a lot of history to Ethiopia. They have a proud history because they were dominant in the late 50s and early 60s, and to a lesser extent throughout the 60s. That's why they should be. That's where they should be, being the second largest population in Africa, but they have since been quite consistent and often very weak. They first entered the World Cup in 1962, their entry having been rejected by FIFA in 1958. But they joined the African Asian boycott in 1966, and they also didn't enter in 1990 and 1998. Finally, they missed in 2010 due to a suspension. The African Cup is similar. Except they entered from 1957 with no break in the early years, but they withdrew from three of the four tournaments between 1986 and 1992. They also withdrew in 2000 and were suspended for this in 2010 also. They're also part of a more local group called the CECAFA, that is the Council for East and Central Asian Football Associations. Oh, I'm out of breath just saying it. And they participate in the CECAFA Cup. We'll get to that a little bit later. In terms of achievement, they did not reach the final round of World Cup qualifying, even in their early years where they were fairly strong in Africa. However, an unlikely excellent performance in recent years saw them reach a final playoff in 2014, which they lost to Nigeria. Their African Cup successes came in the early years, where they were where they finished in the top four. Sorry, I got a little lost there. There were okay, I'm gonna jump back. Their African successes came in the early years where there were few participating teams. There were just three in the first two African Cups, and then four in the second, and then it grew to six and eight, and slowly more and more. So they really took advantage of those early years where there wasn't much competition. They've won the CECAFA Cup four times since 1973, the last time being in 2005, and a third place finish in 2015 is their best recent result there. So, Connor, do you want to do the World Cup here?
Sure. So their domination of Africa in the early years, in the 1950s and 60s, did not flow into the World Cup since they only entered one qualification during that period, and they were knocked out by Israel there, kind of a bit of a hybrid group. Only in 1970 and 1974 did they make it past the first round, until doing so again in 2014, when, as we said, they had a good run. Prior to that, in 2010, they had been suspended four games into their qualifying campaign for being in violation of FIFA rules. They returned with an impressive showing in 2014, where they won a group stage over South Africa, Botswana, and Central African Republic to reach a final playoff with Nigeria, which they lost.
All right, and we'll take a closer look at their most recent competition World Cup runs after we've looked at the African Cup. Oh, no, we're going to do that right away. Sorry, Connor.
Yeah, I'll dive into their 2018 World Cup. So they were one of the 26 weakest teams in Africa required to play in round one of three. There they lost to the very weak Sao Tome and Principe in the first leg away, but beat them by a wider margin at home to recover. In the round two pairing, they were competitive against Congo despite losing both legs. This prevented them from reaching the round three group stage. And then for 2022, they were again among the bottom 28 ranked teams, so they had to play in round one of three, which is effectively a preliminary knockout round. At the time, their FIFA ranking was 150th, and they met Lesotho, who were ranked 144th. So as expected, it was a tight battle. Both legs ended in draws, but Ethiopia advanced on the away goals rule. After that, in the group stage, they did well to overcome third seed Zimbabwe, besting and finish ahead of them. They also earned a home draw with Ghana, which almost spoiled Ghana's campaign as they were engaged in a bitter fight with South Africa, to whom they lost twice. So it was a respectfully competitive campaign, which saw them finish third in round two of three.
Right, and also shows off a bit of their strength at home, and at times they've been a real fortress at home. All right, we'll turn our attention to African Cup history, once again giving an overview and then taking a bit of a closer look at how they've done in detail. So in overview, their glorious past exists only in the African Cup. They won the African Nations Cup in 1962, and they placed in the top four for five out of the first six competitions. But honestly, this is a bit less impressive than it seems, since there were few countries involved in the early years. But even by 1968, when there were 20 teams involved, they finished fourth. So it's a legitimate period of strength. But it came to an abrupt end in 1970 with a group stage finish and a failure to qualify for the next two editions. From 1972 onwards, they've only qualified for the African Cup three times, in 1976, 1982, and 2013, never getting past the first round. Now, before seeing how they've done in recent Cups and how they built on that 2013 qualification, we'll take a deep dive into their history in the finals. Okay, they took part in the first Cup in 1957. We talked about the founding members of CAF, so only four teams took part. And they were paired in the semifinals with South Africa, but received an automatic berth to the final when CAF agreed to ban South Africa for its apartheid policy, a ban that lasted until the 1990s. So they advanced to the finals automatically, where they lost 4-0 to Egypt in the final. The next edition in 1959 saw only the founding members again, minus South Africa again. So it was three teams, Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt again, and they ran it as a round-robin group this time. Ethiopia managed only a draw with Sudan, despite that, they show as being the third-place finishers, which looks pretty good. More teams had joined when they hosted in 1962, and there had been even qualification games for this tournament. Still, though, it was just four teams in the final, and they beat Tunisia in the semi-final and Egypt in extra time of the final to win. 1963 saw the finals expanded to six teams now. They finished behind Ghana in their group and went to a third place match where they lost to old rivals Egypt. 1965 saw heavy losses to Tunisia and Senegal and a group stage exit. But in 1968, they hosted again. The tournament now expanded to 8 teams, and after winning their group stage over Ivory Coast, Algeria, and Uganda, they lost to Congo Kinshasa, which was a name for Congo DR that they used for a short time. They lost that game in extra time, and then they lost to Ivory Coast in the third place match to once again finish fourth. So that was basically the end of their strong period. They did reach the cup in 1970, but they lost all three games there. And in 1976, where even as the host, they failed to pass the group stage. So it would take until 2013 to reach their next cup. By that time, the tournament had expanded to 16 teams. They met defending champion Zambia having won the cup in 2012. They met them in the opener, and despite being down to 10 men, they scored a late equaliser. So a good start to the tournament in 2013. However, they went on to lose 4-0 to Burkina Faso, who they meet here. And that was the second game. And then they lost to Nigeria in the third game on two late penalties. That was followed by a good performance in the World Cup 2014, which we've just seen. So let's see if they manage to keep up this good run of form over the next couple of African Cups.
In 2017, they put in a strong performance in qualifying, but unfortunately were no match for Algeria, who bested them and finished in first. Ethiopia almost beat Algeria at home, but settled for a tie following a late equalizer. Otherwise, they suffered only a draw in Seychelles, beating Lesotho twice to comfortably take second place, but they didn't advance as one of the top two, I believe, second place finishers.
Right.
In 2019, they managed only a home draw with Kenya, but lost away to them and then lost both legs to group winner Ghana for a last place finish out of three in their qualifying group. They actually had beaten Sierra Leone at home, but the game was annulled when Sierra Leone was later disqualified.
Right, so they failed to reach the cup after 2013, but they did, of course, in 2021, which is why we're talking about them. Okay, well, the CECAFA regional group is a bit more established than some of the other ones we've talked about in this podcast. In fact, these guys are surprisingly well established. CECAFA is a group of East African teams. It's actually much older than that name, CECAFA. That was their name from 1993 onwards. But the CECAFA Cup, under different names, is the oldest tournament in Africa, and in fact one of the oldest tournaments in the world, with the first edition in 1926. It's a yearly competition, but it's been cancelled several times in recent years. Ethiopia has participated in 25 of the 40 editions since 1973. And from 2021, the CECAFA Cup is officially an under-23 cup. As opposed to the WAFU, which we said had some of the top teams in Africa in the region, this one is a pretty weak region, with Uganda and Kenya as the top teams. So Ethiopia generally passes the group stage there. And their best result recently was in 2015, where they hosted and took third place. In 2017, though, they finished behind Burundi and did not pass the group stage. And in 2019, the most recent edition, they withdrew. Oh, hang on. They also, there was a tournament in 2021, and they were knocked out in the first round. So even among this weak competition, they're really not doing that well, especially in recent years. Okay, and now we'll go to a kind of a summary of Ethiopia with Connor.
So Ethiopia naturally wants to regain the glory of its former years, but they're in fact far from it, often not even passing the preliminary rounds of qualifying. However, they do remain very tough at home and rarely lose there, even against strong teams. Their road record, on the other hand, is abysmal. Their 2006 preliminary round tie with Malawi was their first road point in either tournament since 1994. It is ironic that the first leg was one of their few and most shameful home losses.
They have been very powerful at home at sometimes, maybe not so much in recent years. And let's kind of look at their recent years. So their overall inconsistency is reflected in the microcosm of the last few years. They looked feeble before being suspended during the 2010 World Cup qualification, although they retained their reputation of being very tough at home. We saw that they had a good spell in 2013 and 14, reaching the African Cup in 2013 for the first time since 1982, and putting in a very competitive campaign for the 2014 World Cup, losing at the last hurdle to Nigeria. They've been inconsistent since, with a good African Cup campaign in 2017 and in 2021, but poor otherwise, even in the CECAFA Cup. Their rank has dropped to an all-time low of around 150 in both systems, having been around 100 in 2013. And we're going to finish with a look at their qualification for this 2021 African Cup.
So Ethiopia came into their qualifying group as a fourth-seeded team. In fact, just one place above those required to undergo the preliminary round. However, they won all home games and lost all away, true to form, with Ivory Coast winning the group and second-seeded Niger coming last. They benefited too from Madagascar's spectacular failure. Needing only a home win over Niger, who they'd beaten 6-2 away, Madagascar managed only a draw in the last game, which allowed Ethiopia to leapfrog into a second-place finish in the qualifying group.
All right. So, yeah, a bit of an inconsistent team. You're never really sure what you're going to get from them. But the fact is that they're not playing at home here. So that will be kind of a disadvantage to them. Again, we won't look at friendlies because they've just been playing World Cup qualifiers, which we've seen. And we'll take a quick look at a few of their players. Definitely the biggest name there is Getania Kabedi. He is a goal scorer supreme for them for many years, if I'm recalling correctly. He has 61 caps and 32 goals, so over 50% ratio for them there. And are any names familiar to you there, Connor?
No, and in fact, almost the entire Ethiopian team plays domestically in the local league. No European-based players, so not any names that I'm particularly familiar with.
Yeah, they have one guy playing for a pretty good team in Algeria, and the one we're going to highlight here plays for a kind of a mid-level team in Europe. We'll just take a quick look at their scorers for the 2022 World Cup, and again it's Getana Kabede with two of their five goals. And let's take a look at our feature player Shimelis Bekele.
Yeah, I think you might have said he played in Europe, but he actually plays with a team in Egypt.
Oh, sorry, I meant Egypt. Yeah.
Yeah. He plays with Mizar El Makassa in Egypt and has since 2019. Previously playing with another club in Egypt, as well as clubs in Sudan, Libya, and Ethiopia, where he got his start. He's one of their more experienced players, though. He's a kind of an attacking midfielder. He has 68 caps and 10 goals, And he's been with the team over a decade since 2010. So, yeah, one of the more, experienced players for this Ethiopian team.
Yeah. So it's hard to tell because they haven't been in a lot of competitions. I mean, he generally has scored in most of their qualifying campaigns. So they'll be looking to him and, of course, to Kabede for their goals.
Yeah. And Bekele also participated in the last African Cup in 2013.
Yeah.
Starting games 1 and 3 there.
Great. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get to know their players a little better through this African Cup, but that brings us to the end of the team-by-team look. And now let's see how they're doing relative to each other in the head-to-head, in the head-to-head version. So, basically, Cameroon has a better head-to-head record than all three teams here. They've only played Burkina Faso twice in major competition, and that was in the 1988 African Cup, but more recently in the 2017 African Cup, where they tied. So Cameroon has a record of 1 win, 1 tie, and 0 losses. So a slight edge over Burkina Faso there. Cameroon and Cape Verde have met more often, and maybe surprisingly, Connor, it's a fairly even record, with Cameroon winning 3, tying 1, and losing 2.
Yeah, and Cape Verde, in fact, having the edge. They met in qualifying for this tournament, where they tied 0-0 in Cameroon, and Cape Verde won 3-1 at home.
Yeah, so that makes it a bit more exciting, a bit more competitive than many might think. With Ethiopia, despite the long history of both teams, they only met once in 1970, and Cameroon won that African Cup group stage game. So, yeah, they surprisingly haven't met that much. Burkina and Cape Verde is also a bit of an interesting case. They're tied. Each has 2 wins, and of course, each has 2 losses. Do you want to tell us a bit about that, Connor?
Yeah, and you might think, well, they both won home games and both lost on the road, but actually, it's not the case. They met in 2006 World Cup qualifying, where Burkina Faso lost both, and then they met in 2018 World Cup qualifying, where Burkina Faso won both games, both home and away.
Right. So Burkina Faso has the recent advantage there. Again, Burkina Faso has a better record than Ethiopia, but haven't met that often. In fact, most recently they met in 2013 African Cup, which was, where Ethiopia did quite well. But actually, Burkina Faso thrashed them in that game 4-0. And lastly, the head-to-head for Cape Verde and Ethiopia is nothing because they've never met.
And that'll be an interesting battle, pitting the second most populous country in Africa versus the second smallest population. So some 100 million to 500,000.
Yeah.
Despite that, though, tiny Cape Verde probably go in as favorite. So very interesting dynamics in that game.
That's right. And actually, you lead us nicely into the look at the head-to-head, rankings. Do you want to take us through that?
We'll talk about both the FIFA and ELO rankings, which are two different systems. We generally find ELO a little bit more accurate. But Cameroon, who are the Pot 1 team here as host, they're the highest seed in the group. They're 30th in FIFA and 53rd in ELO, which puts them 7th and 9th in Africa, respectively. Burkina Faso is 53rd in the world in FIFA and 58th in ELO. So in the ELO rankings, they're actually very close to Cameroon, just 5 places lower than them. And they're 11th overall in Africa in both systems. Going to Cape Verde, they are 103rd in FIFA and 116th in ELO. But they are good enough for 14th overall in Africa, according to both systems. And then Ethiopia are 150th in FIFA, as we've mentioned, and 115th, so actually a spot ahead of Cape Verde in the ELO rankings. And that's puts them 39th in Africa in the FIFA ranking. So certainly one of the lower ranked teams in this tournament.
Right. I wonder if we made a mistake there, because if they're one spot ahead in the ELO rankings, they should also be ahead in within Africa too.
Yeah, I'll just check that quickly.
Sure, that'll be great, and maybe I'll just begin my discussion of the prospects. Yeah, so you know, Cameroon. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, Cape Verde, you're 86th in Africa, so higher than Ethiopia in both systems. We said 116th, but 86th is where they
are. Oh, okay, I see. Okay, we'll correct that on our graphic for the YouTube. So yes, Cape Verde is favored over Ethiopia in both systems. And actually, if we look at that numbers, once again, we'll just focus on the ELO numbers because we trust them a bit more. We have Cameroon 9th, Burkina Faso 11th, Cape Verde 14th, and Ethiopia quite a ways back at 29th. Do you agree with those rankings based on your feelings, Connor?
I do. We'll talk about that in the prospects, but I generally agree with those ELO rankings.
Oh, okay. I think I was beginning prospects there, but I'll just we'll maybe start the discussion with the rankings. My own feeling is that Cameroon maybe are a little further ahead because now they're hosts. And I actually agree with the ELO rankings that Cape Verde is not too far behind Burkina Faso, but the FIFA rankings have them way behind, 50 points behind. I agree with the ELO rankings there that they are behind Burkina Faso, but not as quite as much as FIFA makes out.
Yeah, I would perhaps put Cameroon a little bit higher, especially coming off a pretty strong World Cup qualifying campaign where they won a difficult group ahead of Ivory Coast. And again, being at home gives them the edge. But I think in general, I do see kind of Cameroon, Burkina Faso, and Cape Verde as the three top teams who will be relatively competitive with one another. And then I do see Ethiopia kind of further behind as a fourth team, which is what the rankings suggest.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, especially we said Cameroon has the home advantage. Ethiopia is away from home, and we saw that a lot of their successes have been based on home performances. So playing away here, I think they don't have much of a chance in this group. I think they'd be doing well to earn a draw and maybe spoil things for the teams above them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you agree with my suggestion that the top three will be competitive, or do you see one or two teams perhaps pulling away?
Yeah, I agree with that, because Cameroon can be a little bit inconsistent. I think that was kind of a theme that came out, is their inconsistency, not qualifying for three African Cups in a row in the 20-teens. And we even saw in the head-to-head that, you know, they can get points taken off them. But again, at home, I would definitely think Cameroon's going to finish in the top two.
Yeah, I would expect them to win the group. But I think, you know, in this tournament, four of the top three third-place finishers advance. And that tends to happen particularly when there's three competitive teams and one weak team that everyone takes points off. So I really see this as a group where probably all three teams will advance, you know, being the top three being relatively competitive with each other and all likely to beat Ethiopia, you know, barring a kind of a spoiler result, as you alluded to.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about inconsistency. It's equally likely that Cameroon or Burkina Faso particularly will put in an excellent performance and, you know, may come out of this group looking quite strong. But in general, I would say that it's going to end the way it's listed here, with Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Cape Verde, and Ethiopia well at the bottom.
How do you expect Cameroon as host to do in the tournament as a whole?
Oh, that's a good thing to talk about. I think they would be disappointed to not reach at least the semifinals. They did win the tournament in 2017, but that was actually a bit out of the blue. But they certainly have the pedigree to go all the way, and being host will help. How about you?
Yeah, I think semifinals would kind of be the minimum as hosts, as a team that's won this before, and possibly go on and win it. I mean, they're capable, probably not the very favorites. There are some very strong teams here, but I think semifinals is realistic for them. In terms of Cape Verde and Burkina Faso, I think reaching the round of 16 would be a respectable finish for both teams. That would be getting out of the group stage. For Burkina Faso, perhaps reaching the quarterfinals would be, considered a good tournament, but that's as far as I see them going. And Cape Verde, I think if they got out of the group, that would be good, but I don't expect them to go much further.
Yeah, well, without Aristide Banse, who knows? It might. No, I'm just joking. Burkina Faso certainly is capable of some, of a good result. They didn't make the tournament in 2019, which I'm sure was a big disappointment to them. So they may feel like they have something to prove here, and they have pretty good players. I think they have the potential to go a little farther than Cape Verde, who I think would do well to get out of the group stage, as you say. But if they do, I don't think they would get beyond the round of 16. All right. Well, actually, the structure with 24 teams is a little more interesting because now there is a round of 16, so that's a bit of a hurdle. A bit of a hurdle for some teams, and quite interesting. And if you don't perform well in the group stage, you might end up with someone like Nigeria in a round of 16, which makes it very difficult. So I think, in a way, it makes the group stage a bit more interesting because where you end up in the group stage matters quite a bit.
For sure.
Okay, so give it to me straight, Connor. How is this group going to finish?
I'm going to say Cameroon finishes first without winning all their games, though. I think Burkina Faso will be second, narrowly ahead of Cape Verde. I actually think Cape Verde will make a good fist of things. And I think Ethiopia will be last, perhaps lucky to get a point, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I gotta say, I agree with you. I agree with you there. All right, well, that brings us to the end of a fairly long podcast. Do you want to give the closing information there, Connor, our website and email address?
Yeah, so you can find this podcast and others available on our website, which is Soccer Files. That's SoccerPhiles dot Captivate, CapTivate dot FM. You can also search Soccer Files Canada, and you can find us that way as well. And we also have an email address, which is soccerfiles@gmail.com.
Yeah, so if you want to let us know what you think, how you're enjoying the podcast, maybe some suggestions for how to improve it. We are looking for a bit of feedback on the Players podcast and whether there's a lot of interest out there for such a detailed podcast on the Players. And thanks very much for listening to the podcast. And thank you too, Connor.
Yes, thank you. So this is Group A. We've got five more groups to come. So a lot more soccer to enjoy.
All right, great. I will see you in Group B.
See you then.
Bye bye.